Oh, such a sense of his presence in this room. He loves this. He loves his sons to come together. And by sons, I mean the girls and the boys. He loves his sons to come to him and want to be with him. That's great. Ah, we've had the most extraordinary week, Dot and I. I want to say that before we went away last week, we were severely battered people. We were exhausted. We didn't need a holiday. We needed healing. Seriously, just needed soothing. Our hearts were just pretty well raw. And everything we were doing was just costing us emotionally more stuff we didn't have to give anymore. And we were just absolutely flattened out. And I was really concerned for Dot. She just looked fragile and she looked like she was going to blow away at any moment. And we so needed to do what we did last week. We didn't go on holiday. We went to a conference in Holland, which was run by English people, oddly enough. And it's the Father's Heart Ministry, which is really got its roots in Toronto. And it's got, before you all get a freak out, Toronto is not about signs, wonders, and manifestations. Toronto is about loving the Father. And so this ministry came out of men like Jack Frost and Jack Winter. Some of you may have heard of them. And is now currently being steered, since Jack Frost and Jack Winter have gone to permanent callings in heaven, steered by a man called James Jordan, who lives in New Zealand most of the time, but spends an awful lot of time everywhere else. And obviously he's part of the Toronto team as well. And that's really useful. So anyway, Dot and I took our battered souls and parked them there for a week. And it was like putting yourself in a spa, I guess, although we didn't have spa treatment in that sense. But we had people minister to us. And we had issues that had grown up in our lives a long time back. And God wanted to sort the issues out. And we're no more, not yet complete, but we're on the road again. It almost feels to me as if I've spent 28 years trying to do something which I could not do on my own. And I had to get back to where I started in the beginning, which is connected to my Father, who loves me so completely and welcomes me as a son into his household and does not want me to perform, does not evaluate me on my performance, does not want me to do anything out of a sense of slavish obligation, but always wants me to respond to him out of love. And so we went and parked ourselves there for a week in this place, and it was mainly Dutch people and some German people. I think we were the only English punters, and then the English team and Dutch team who were ministering. And it was just amazing. And I'm not going to say anything first because I want Dot to come and tell you what the Lord did in her, because I think the biggest thing happened in Dot. And I just loved watching Dot every day get healed, just get sorted out, get whole. And you know, we got nothing to give you if we're trying to put our own lives together all the time. If we're frantic, then you can't have anything from us. We're just pretty hopeless. So let's let Dot come and tell you what the Father did in her.
Yeah, I just feel like a calf set free from the stall, actually. I'm so excited about God again. You know, I think what we do is we come into the kingdom, and for many of us, it's like falling in love with Jesus, you know, for the first time. And the first years of my Christian experience were just joy, you know, just freedom and joy. And then somehow we take on yokes, you know. And I know Terry Virgo has done an amazing teaching on this about grace and law. And we so easily get into law. You know, we're saved by grace and freedom. And then somehow somebody says to us, but you've got to read the word every day, and you've got to fast, and you should pray. And so we get back into law again. And the Lord just showed me that I was the older brother. I was just so much the older brother. I'd been a prodigal who'd come back, and Father just embraced me. And then I just got into law again. And maybe this is a process of our lives, but for me it was just the most amazing thing. And Father just said to me, you know, you've become like the older brother. And, you know, and when you read that the parable of the prodigal son, the older brother said, you know, he was so filled with resentment and anger and bitterness and competition. And I think he'd always despised his younger brother. You know, maybe he was always jealous of him. And he was obviously filled with resentment. And he said, you know, I've slaved for you. He was mad when his brother came back. He didn't rejoice. He wasn't glad in his heart that his brother, who might have died, was back. His heart was, what about me? You know, and I think that thing can, you know, get hold of all of us. Just this, a kind of slavish. And when you're in ministry as well, you know, you're not just receiving for you anymore. It's not your intimacy with God. It's much more like, what do the people need? And I just became burdened with you guys, actually. You know, if somebody wasn't in the meeting on Sunday, I was like, oh, what's happened to them? Oh, you know, what should we do? And I'd text you, and you might have felt a little bit kind of pressured, but that wasn't in my heart. It was much more like, are you okay? But I had this burden of all these kids, hundreds of kids, you know, and where were you all and what was happening? And it just became such a huge burden for me. And when I was spending time with Father, it was like, even in a prayer meeting, it would be like, I just want to soak and spend time with Father. And then I'd be thinking, oh, but what about that person? They look a bit bored. Oh, better make sure that maybe we should pray now. There wasn't an ease. And, you know, the Lord says, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. And I think we take all kinds of burdens on ourselves that God never gave us. He wants ministry. He wants our relationship with Him to be fun. And I just want to declare over this church, we're going to be full of fun. You know, James Maloney said that we would party. We would be a church who knows how to party, not in the flesh, but in the sonship, you know, of knowing who we are. And Father's crazy about us. I felt for a long time that God was really displeased with me. You know, if I didn't pray and I didn't fast or whatever it was just like, God was mad with me. I really felt He was mad with me. I kind of had a goodish relationship with Jesus, but Father was quite remote and distant. And this week, he took me on His lap, you know? And it might sound, and some of us might feel, oh, that sounds soulish and fleshy. But you know, God wants to heal our souls. Because if we're speaking truth over a damaged soul, all we do is damage other people. He wants to heal our souls. And I just believe that we in this church are into a whole new season of being restored to first love with Jesus and with Father. And I believe He's going to heal our souls, all of us. Because, you know, there's a fatherless generation out there. And Father's heart is to return. And He wants to bring back the prodigals from out there. And the older brothers in here, because many of us, that's when we're feeling competitive and resentful about other people's anointings. You know, if I heard of a church that was here the same amount of time as us and had exploded, I wasn't rejoicing with them. I was like jealous. You know, what's wrong with us, God? Don't we have enough anointing, God? And it was all about me. And it's not. It's all about Him. Hallelujah. I could preach all day. And the Lord just that night when He showed me that I was an older brother and I repented and I just said, I'm so sorry, Daddy. I haven't been able to call Daddy, God, Daddy ever. I just thought it was sentimental and soulish and fleshy. And I was able to say that to Him because I never called my dad Daddy. You know, he wasn't that kind of huggy kind of guy. And the Lord just gave me this. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family. But a son belongs to it forever. I can't lose my salvation. I can't lose my place of sonship. He's given it to me. It's mine. Hallelujah.
Isn't that brilliant? It is absolutely wonderful. We arrived there and, you know, up to a few days before we were due to go, and we never chose to do this. Some friends of ours who live in Holland, who were students at Rofi at the Bible School, have been friends since about 14 years ago. And they'd been to this Father Heart School, and they said, guys, you really need to go to this. And I said, not my speed. Doesn't sound like anything I want to do. Revival? Yeah, but not that. And eventually, I kept finding reasons why I shouldn't go, and then they sent us an email about 2 months ago, and they said, tell you what, we've booked you in on the next school, and we'd like to pray for you. Well, that really takes away every reason why you can't go. And so up to a week before we left, I was still saying to Dot, isn't it irresponsible for us to take time off and go? I think we shouldn't do this. I think God wants us here. I don't think he wants us to go there. And up to the time when we drove on to that ferry at Dover and said, okay, that's it, we're committed now, we've got to go. And I just sort of still was steeling myself for whatever this is going to be. We got to this place, and there were 86 of us students, and there was a team of about 20-odd people. And what happened is that the first day, the guy started to teach on this whole concept that Dot just talked about having an orphan spirit and having a spirit of sonship. And an orphan is someone who never knew his mother and father, has no identity in that. And so he's an orphan, he or she, is constantly seeking identity in somebody else or in something else. So it might be in relationships. It might be in anything. I need affirmation. I need people to tell me I'm all right. I need people to affirm my life because as an orphan, I don't feel I belong to anybody. But the whole thing that Jesus did was to come to take the orphans to the Father and connect us back to the Father so we would have the spirit of sonship. And by him, we'd be able to cry, Abba, Father. And that's what Jesus came to do. And it was to put us back in that place of sonship. So this guy says, now what are we going to do now? This team's going to line up in the frontier, and we want you guys to come up when you're ready, no pressure, soft music on, low lighting, and just come up and let them hug you. You know, you just need to be hugged. And I thought, this is a choice thing, right? So maybe I don't need to be hugged. So I was just sitting there, and Dot's sitting, and Dot's kind of like just about at the hugging point before I can, the guy's words are barely out. And she's saying, are you going to go up and get hugged? I said, no, I'm fine. You know. Eventually, I said, okay, I'll show I can do this. So I thought we'd just go for a little side on. And this guy puts his arms around me, and he holds me. And you know when you get to the point where you go on their back, which is kind of the sign of, okay, we've done this. Moving out. And he doesn't read the sign. He just keeps on holding me. And this is so awkward. And this is so uncomfortable. I don't even know this guy. And he's just holding me. And after about a minute, something started changing inside. And I said, oh boy, I needed this. I so needed this. And for 5 minutes, this guy holds me and just speaks to me and just says to me, Father, this is your beloved son in whom you are well pleased. Father, receive your son. Do you know, somebody told me there were some people that had worked with the orphans in Romania when the first opened up. And they had these orphans who'd been in orphanages since they were very little. And do you know that children die from a lack of physical contact? They're ill and they're socially maladjusted. We are designed to be held. That's why you have mothers who nurture you and love you. And this guy said to me, today, God is taking out of your hand this idea that you need to have a sword in your hand every day. And God says, hold your hands out like this and let me fill you with my love so that you can give my love away to people. I never understood that. I couldn't believe this. And so that was how the week started. And every day was just another revelation of Father's love for us. And it wasn't slushy and sentimental. It was real good teaching. And every day, and I thought, golly, a whole week of this. But you know, I've been to, you know, you go to faith camp and all these things, and you think, golly, okay, it's Wednesday, we're halfway through now, right? We're managing, we're doing fine, we've been to all the meetings we've got to be at. And this one would say, oh, it's Wednesday, there are only 2 days left. We can't, don't let it go too fast, slow it down. Because it was real for us, because we were meeting with our Father. Do you know, when I got saved 30 years ago, I got saved in a tiny little conservative evangelical church in the farming areas of where I lived in South Africa. And this was people full of people, I mean, farmers I wouldn't have a lot in common with. I was in marketing and it was my speed. And I went to this church, and I mean, they have church at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning because they're up since 4 milking. So by 8 o'clock, it's kind of mid-morning for these guys and they need to get on with it. So we turn up at 8 o'clock for church. And I fell in love with two things. I fell in love with my father and I fell in love with these people. Do you know what it's like when you first fall in love? You know that feeling that you just can't stop thinking about them. And every time you think about them, you just smile, you know. Such a good feeling. You know that, anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Okay. That's how I felt all the time. I just felt, I've fallen in love. I'm just amazed. I wasn't married, but I was in love. And I just had this lovely feeling. And these guys, and I just couldn't get enough of them. And I'd spend time with people I would normally never spend time with. And we just talked about the Word, got the Word out, and we talked, and we just shared life. And we just loved each other and felt loved by Father. And it was the most incredible time. The minister eventually said, look, we don't have a youth group. Why don't you start one? I don't even saved about 6 months. I don't have a clue. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm just going to love the kids. So we announced on Sunday there's a youth group starting on Friday in the hall. Come out there. And these kids, some came, some kind of peeped around the door, didn't want to come in. And that's all I did. I didn't know what else to do. So we played volleyball ferociously for the first half. And then we went in the church, and I'd light one candle, put all the lights out, and we'd all lie on the floor like this. And I'd say, well, anybody want to say anything? You can say something. If you oh, they just want to be quiet, that's okay. We put some music on. And the kids would start talking, and kids started to get saved. Eventually, we had 40 kids in this group, filled with the Holy Spirit. Say they were discipling each other. The one was saying, you know, this happened with my father, and I really feel messed up by this that happened. And another kid was minister that kid. And I was watching this happen. You see, I didn't even have a book on how to lead a youth group. But I was tapping into Father. And Father was healing the lives of the people. And Father was bringing them. It wasn't how great I was at what I was doing. You see, what I've come to understand is our identity is not in what we do. Our identity is in the fact that we're sons of the Father. That's my identity. I have no other identity. I'm a son of my Father. And that's only identity I need ever have. I might do various things, but I'm always, first of all, a son. And then, after 2 years, the Lord moved me into this revival-type ministry, where the whole thing was on discipling your life, getting you in order, squeeze you, let's see what's on the inside. Ah, we saw a reaction. Well, we need to disciple this bad attitude out of you. Unless a seed of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it abides alone. You're not coming to enough prayer meetings. You're not serving. Where's your heart of servanthood in this church? Where's your heart of giving in this church? Why aren't you loving your brothers in this church? Come on, love each other. We'll send you to a group where you can learn to love each other. I lost Father 28 years ago, and I replaced him with performance. And for 28 years, I tried to do what I thought the slave driver Father who lives in unapproachable light wanted me to do. The one I'd loved so much that I could lie on the lawn and just talk to him, and he'd answer me in my heart, and I'd ask him another question, and he'd answer me. And I'd just say, Father, I love you so much, I don't think I've ever known love like this. I remember one night we were up in the Catberg with all these kids at a camp, and I just felt this love growing, and I thought, I better get out of this room. I'm going to make an idiot of myself. I'll burst into tears. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I went and stood under these trees and this blue moonlight filtering through, and I just said, Father, you're going to have to stop now because this is too much. My heart's going to explode if you put any more love in here. I can't take any more of this. I love it, but it's going to kill me. It's so great. And that's where I lived. And I lost that. And I ended up becoming an automaton. Somebody who feels Father's first interest is in my performance. And that was roughly where it stopped. Stuff happens in our lives, guys. Stuff happened in my life. Stuff happened in my life when I was 3 that should not have happened to any 3-year-old. And from then on, I never felt safe. As a child, I never felt safe. No matter what I did, I was always in a place of danger. And I had to get that sorted. But I didn't know how to get it sorted. And I used to go to these people and they used to say, well, you just speak the word over it and you just replace it with the truth. The truth will set you free. But the trouble is it didn't. The pain stays on the inside and you can speak the truth on the outside, but you know the pain's still in there. And until the pain goes, you stay an orphan. You know when you know you're an orphan, and I'm on the journey here. Orphans, under provocation, react. And the reaction defines what we are. Offense, sharp words, sharp looks. That's all coming out of the orphan spirit. Sons don't need to do that anymore. Not because they've steeled themselves and taught themselves to not. I'm so accepted. I'm so secure in who I am. I don't need to react for anybody anymore. I just got to be a son. And so these guys, people used to say to me occasionally, well, why don't you just look and see Jesus was there when that was happening? And I'd try and do that when this thing happened at the age of 3. And I'd say, yeah, but if he was there, why didn't he stop it? Why did he let it happen? And so that was my problem with where was Jesus at the time that you got hurt? And then one of the team gave me a clue. You know, Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open, I will come in and I will have fellowship with you, etc. And he said, why don't you open the door and let Jesus into that painful situation right now? So I said, okay. A lot of what you do, it's crazy. At this conference, everybody brings rugs and pillows because you spend a lot of time lying on the carpet. And it's just more comfortable to have a rug and a pillow. I mean, some are really sophisticated. They even have beds, you know, little roll-out things. And you all lie there and the music plays and Jesus does stuff. Whenever you feel you need some help, you just put your hand up and a team member will come to you and say, okay, what do you want to talk about? Sometimes they'll just put their hand on you and pray. And so this guy said, I told him, look, I got this thing. Here's Jesus. Why didn't he stop this? Why did he let it happen to me? And he said, okay, this is a fallen world, and Jesus gave man free will, freedom to choose. The people who did that to you were free to choose. They made the wrong choice. Now open the door and let Jesus come in there. Just let him walk right in. I said, okay. Jesus, I'm going to open the door here. I'm right in that pain situation right now. I'm going to open the door. You know what? He came in. I didn't see him. I knew he was there. And he put his arms around me. He held me. And what Jesus did, he didn't take it away because he can't. He won't take away what has happened. But he took away the pain of what happened that day. And once the pain had gone, I can think back on that now, and it doesn't hurt me to think about it for the first time. Just something that happened, but it doesn't hurt me now. And so Jesus and I spent time until I was 18, which is when a lot of rubbish happened. And we just went through stuff. And I just opened the door again, opened the door again, opened the door again. And he just came in each time. And each time he just healed the pain. He doesn't take it away. He just heals the pain. And eventually, I said to Dot, I feel so free and so light. I feel like if the wind blew, I'd take off. You know, I'd just float around the ceiling. I really felt like I lost weight, lost this yoke that I was wearing, this yoke which demanded performance out of me. And I just had to love my Father and let my Father love me. And we went through this time. We saw heard some amazing stories. One day, they ministered to women who'd been either abused one way or another, women who'd been sexually abused, women who'd been mentally abused, women who'd been physically abused by their husbands, by other men, women who'd been abused in the marketplace by men who despise women, women who go into work situations and men treat you badly, and men treat you as inferior. I never thought about this stuff before. I didn't know how much that bothered women. And then they got the women to come up if they wanted to be prayed for by team members. And I have never heard such broken-hearted sobbing in my entire life. Women broke on the inside because they have been so hurt by men. Their lives had been absolutely, their sense of self-worth had been so damaged by men. And they needed to be set free. And they needed to be healed of the pain of their life. And then they bring Jesus into the situation each time. And then eventually they asked all the men to come to the front, and we lined up. And we asked the women to forgive us on behalf of mankind. Forgive us for what we did to you. Forgive us for the way we didn't love you, didn't respect you, paid you less money than we pay men and thought it was okay to do that. Thought your job was inferior to what a man would do. It was so healing for people. You know, guys, quoting scripture doesn't make it go away. Doesn't. It just masquerades it and pretends that there's something good happened there, but it hasn't gone. And so we just spent that time just letting the Father heal us and being brought back. And I came back. I reconnected with that Father that I met when I first got saved. And for 2 years, I walked in love with. And you know, coming back at one point, halfway through the week, Dot said, I wonder if we'll be able to still do this when we get back to London. The point is, it's not that we're doing something, bringing something back with us. It's that we are in a different place ourselves. And what we are is just people who love our Father, and our Father loves us. And that can happen here, can happen anywhere. And so Father has come with healing and restoration of our lives. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, the love the Father has lavished on us is so great, it cannot be put into words adequately. What a wonder it is that we should be called God's children, and that is precisely what He has made us. We are God's children. You are sons of your Father. Father has rescued you. He sent Jesus to fetch you. He sent Jesus to take you out of the world and connect you back to the Father. And that was always Father's intention. He wanted His sons back. And that's why He rescued you and I, connected us to the Father, that we could become sons of the Father once again. And then the scripture tells us the whole world is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Do you know why God doesn't send multitudes of people into the church? Because they're damaged people. They're often sitting in churches carrying their damage around. Who are going to damage people when they come in eventually? Because hurt people hurt people. And this is not let's get soppy and inner healing-ish. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about reality of the kingdom. Listen, you have a soul, whether you like it or not. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. How I know you is according to your soul, apart from how you look physically. What I know about you is what your soul expresses. Your personality is what I know you about, what your words are. And if our soul, am I right, Christiana, you're a psychologist, you would know, yeah. My soul is what I am. From a psychiatrist, there you go. My soul is impacted and fed by what I receive information-wise through my mind. But I don't live in the realm of my mind. I live in the realm of my soul. That's what I am. But anybody who says to you, oh, just let your soul die, count yourself dead, is probably wounded themselves and has never allowed the Father to come and set them free. And so we had to learn this. Reactions that come out of me come out of the wrong things in my soul that have to get sorted out. And so it has to get removed. And I had to get set free from these things. Because I want to be the best I can. Listen, I saw such tenderness towards the children of God. And what I came to understand is how carefully we must handle God's children. They are the Father's children. And I dare not handle them with aggression or with anger or frustration. I've got to handle them tenderly if I'm to help them in any way. You know, church guys should be the safest place in the town. But often it's one of the most dangerous places you can be. Because wherever you put people together, people are going to hurt each other. But there's so many churches that require you. And I've done this. I need people to serve. I need people to serve in every kind of way conceivably in this church. I need you to give your offering into this church. I need you to pray more. I need you to read the word more. I need you to come to prayer meetings. I need you to come to meetings. Listen, this is not about authenticating my ministry. This is about your life being set free to be a son of God. My job and Dot's job, as we now understand it as pastors, is to connect the sons to the Father. Keep connecting them to the Father. No matter how damaged they are, have hope. Have the Father's hope for their life and connect them to the Father so that the Father can establish that relationship and heal them. And if you're sitting here with pain in your life and I'm sitting here saying, oh, praise God, you know, it'll all be fine. Just my God will supply your needs if you're in poverty or, you know, go warm, go well, be warm, be fed. But I don't care about you. I don't care about your life. I just care about my ministry. I've come to understand the most significant thing I could come to understand. I am not here to put bottoms on chairs. I'm here to help the sons get healed and to get connected to their Father. What's the point of 1,000 people who never got sorted out, who learned to say the right things, put their masks on when they walk in the door, and live the mask until they leave and go home to their pain again? I've achieved nothing. But my job is to help you to connect to the Father. Because that's what he saved you for. Now, the other thing I want to tell you, outside in the world are Father's sons as well. He's waiting for them to reconnect. Why do I know that? The Son of Man tells us he came to seek and save what was lost. If it was lost, it meant it once belonged to him. Every single child before it was born into this world, the Father owned that life because the Father knew us before we were formed in our mother's wombs. And that Father took that life and he put it at the point of conception into that family. And Father's intention for that life was that that life would grow and become a son of the Father on the earth and live as sons. Often that doesn't happen. But every Muslim living outside there right now belongs to Father. And Father wants them back. He sent Jesus to fetch them. He sent Jesus to open the way that they can come back to him. But you and I have got to take his love and connect them back to him again. This place has got to be safe. There's got to be a reality of love in this place. I don't want you to give into offerings because you feel coerced or you feel that God's going to smash you up if you don't. I don't want you to serve in any way, unless it's done out of love. If love is your motive, that's brilliant. If we have no PA and we have nothing else, but we have sons of God sitting in here, I'm quite happy. We'll do without a PA system if we have to. But it's more important to me to not put on a show, more important to me that sons get connected back to the Father. Do you know why we are struggling with sin? Do you know why we keep going back into sin? Because we don't know we're sons. And it's only in that place of intimacy, of relationship with Father, that I don't want to sin because I don't want to ruin that relationship. I'm so in love. Listen, when you fall in love with somebody, do you do something to hurt them? Not usually. You do something to increase the love, bless their life, increase what you've got and give yourself more to them. That's what you do when you come into the place of love with a Father again. It's the only place you will read the word, not out of slavish obligation, but because I'm so hungry for you. I love your word. It's like love letters to me, this word. I want to read it because of that. I want to speak to you, Father. I don't want to enter into a prayer meeting where I shundle up and down and speak scriptures and say we've had a prayer meeting. I want to come to a place where I connect with Father, where I come into connection with Father so that Father and I are having a good time together along with Father's other sons here. And please remember, I'm always including the ladies in that statement. That's why Father's got us here. And if we can end up with 100 whole saved sons who are ready to go make sons out there, we've achieved the job. Hear me, we've achieved the job. You might say, but where's revival? Revival comes from sons who love the Father. Power in the hands of damaged people is very damaging to other people. So many times we say, all we need is fire, the power. Let's see the signs and wonders. Let's see the power. And the Father says, but I want you to be my son. I want you to love me and I want you to receive my love. And then I will show you signs, wonders, and miracles. But don't try and turn it around. You know, I'm reading a book about the desert fathers, you know, the mystics who some of you may know about, who lived for a few hundred years after Jesus. And amazing people. They just literally lived these lives like hermits in caves in the desert in the Middle East, literally just devoting their lives to prayer and worship and relationship. And they played a significant role in terms of shaping and praying and changing ebbs and flows of spiritual forces on this earth. But the key to this life of the mystic was the relationship with the Father. They connected to the Father, and then they fulfilled the Father's purpose on the earth. So, guys, I'm not finished. Do you want to? Oh, okay. Wives have good PSs.
Just when we were singing about holy, holy, you know, this morning, I just felt like that word can separate us from Father. You know, we feel like, oh, you're holy and I'm so unholy. And I felt him just scooping me up into his presence, and he said, that's where my holiness is. Just come be with me, it will be holy.
Thank you. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 18, he says, unless you change and you become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Right now, what Jesus is looking for is not your performance. He wants you to become like a little child again. You know, on the boat yesterday coming across from France, we were sitting watching a little boy. He must have been about two and a half, with his mum and dad. And they had a meal, and he's just playing around, and then they put some food in front of him, and he'd eat it, and then he'd play around. And I just thought, that kid in no way thinks of who's going to pay for this, or even stops to think how it's going to get paid for it. He's going to eat what's put in front of him. And the father said to me, that's how I want you to be. Just, your father's going to provide it. You need to heal somebody. You know, do you remember when Caleb was here? And Caleb talked about that message, and he said, when you belong in the family, when you're the kid of the father, you can go to father's fridge anytime and just help yourself to what's in there. You know, when my children come home from all over the world and they come into my house, they're allowed to go to the fridge anytime they like and see what's in the fridge that they fancy and take it. But guests don't kind of have that same privilege. And what I sense Father saying, if you need healing for somebody, go to father's fridge and get some healing. You can have it because you're a son. If you need to see somebody set free, you know, this amazing story when Jesus was, the woman caught in adultery was brought to Jesus. What did he do when they were standing there with their rocks ready to throw them at her? What did Jesus do? The scriptures tell us he crouched down and he was drawing in the sand. I suddenly realized something. He was waiting for Father to tell him what to say. Because he said, I only say what my Father gives me to say. You see, the whole thing, Jesus said, on my own I can do absolutely nothing. It's the Father working through me. It's exactly the same position he wants you and I to be in. On our own, we can do nothing. But in the relationship with our Father, all things are possible. The other thing that happened, this is the end now. Caleb, when he was here that night, you may remember, he said, Papa God. And I cringed. Because he's not Papa. He's Father, holy, clothed in unapproachable light. And I felt so awkward with that word. And Caleb stayed with us. And for nearly 3 months, he kept talking about, oh, I'll ask Papa about that. I said, oh, don't say that. I don't know what to do with that word. It's just a real problem to me. Let's say Father. And you remember at the Friday night, Caleb used to stay and say, oh, Papa, come and meet with your people. And the Spirit of God would just move over the people's lives and people would begin to meet with him. I tried it once, but it was so ingenuine. I thought, I can never say that word again. And after this week, we came out the other end. And yesterday, Dot and I went for a walk, a long walk after we'd packed up. And we went for a walk on this big property. We walked into the woods and I just started shouting, Papa God! I'm your son. Papa, you're Dot's father too. Papa, we don't have to be afraid anymore because living under the shadow of Papa's wings, we have security. Papa, you supply all my needs. From today, I don't have to worry about it. Papa, this is so great. I was shouting, shouting. And all the gardeners suddenly over there, they all stood up from their work to look at me. And I thought, wow, if they can catch this, it's good news. He's Papa to me now. Jesus says the Spirit makes us aware that we are God's children, sons of God. The Spirit, and therefore enables us to call Him Abba, Father. Abba, He's your Abba, Father. Papa is okay. It's so freeing. He's your Papa. He has made you His son. You can come to your Father right now. And you can get on your Father's lap. You can come in His throne room. You can say, Father, it's so good to be back with You again. This is where it started. Father, I bring You this damaged heart. I know that only You can fix it. Father, I've tried for 28 years and didn't fix it. Father, take this heart and sort it out now. Doesn't matter what you've been doing. Doesn't matter what's been happening in your life. Father is waiting for you to come back. He has promised to never reject you. He has promised that you can come back to Him anytime you like. Bring Him your damaged life and let Him heal you and set you free. Hallelujah. You know what? He is truly the best dad in the whole world. There isn't a better dad. He's the only perfect dad. Your earthly father might have been brilliant, but he still wouldn't have been as good as Papa God was, is. And He wants to heal His sons. He wants His sons back. He's calling His sons and He says, come back to Me. Just stand with me for a moment, please. Father, here we are. We are Your sons. These are Your sons, not mine. This is our church, not mine. These are Your people. And You want Your people back. And right now, Father, Dot and I just get our hands off Your people. We say, here, Father, they're Yours. Alongside us, they're Your sons and daughters. Father, I know I can trust You with their lives. I know You can heal these lives. I know You can make them whole. I know that You're going to have to take some time, Papa, to remove the orphan spirits from us so that You can fill it with the Spirit of sonship. I know that. But Father, today we want to commit ourselves to the journey. However long it takes, this is the important thing. So that when we bring in other sons, they will find a home and a family, a safe place to grow, to be set free, to be released, to be healed, to receive everything that Father wants for them, to be full of power, full of authority, full of provision for every need. Father, we trust You. These are Your sons and daughters, Father. They're not ours. All we want to be is Your connectors. We just want to connect them to You, Father. You're the best one at sorting them out. Sometimes they need us to hold them while they get sorted out. We'll do that, Father. But Father, right now, we just give them to You. Can you just say to Father in your own words, okay, here I am, Father. You've known me since I was formed in my mother's womb. So I give You this life. Never took it back. I just got confused along the way. I trust You, Father. Trust You to heal this life. I trust You to take the pain out, Jesus. I trust You to heal the hurts, the disappointments that have gone in the past. I trust You. I thank You, Father, that Your word is truth and the truth sets us free, but we can only be truly set free when we have confidence in the Father who loves us. Then the Word has great power to set us free. Faith is confident in our Father's love for us. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Father. Now I've got a good bit of music here. We don't have to be sad about this. This is the best news you'll ever have. This is good news. I want you just to feel like having a romp, have a run around the hall. Just jump about. Just be on church, because this is good stuff. Can you doubt that? Listen, I don't undermine your pain of your life. I don't for one moment. And I know this is a process. But you've got to start by getting the fundamental thing right. Your Father loves you. After that, it becomes possible. Now, if there's anybody who'd really been moved by what I've said, or it's opened up things in your life, Dot and I are going to be on the side here. Come over and see us. We want to pray with you. We want to minister God's love to you. We want you to know Father's love that is setting us free. God bless you. Have some coffee if you like. Put some music on. And those who want prayer, come over. Can I ask that no children run around this section here in case people are wanting to be prayed for? Let's be sensitive to that. Thank you so much. God bless you.